I'm Matthew Woods, host of Leading Out of the Woods, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Balance looks different. It's not going to be, you know, half and half, 50-50. It could just be what balance means in the moment, so you can have success, so you can be healthy.
Welcome to the Leader of Learning podcast. This is where educators can come to find inspiration to transform education through effective leadership. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Krynas, and my research and leadership experiences have led me to understand that someone like you, regardless of your role or your title, can truly make an impact in your organization. I chat with amazing guests who epitomize what it truly means to be a leader of learning. I'm so glad you've tuned in. Let's get started. Hey there, Leader of Learning. Welcome back. Episode 101. If you're just joining us, we celebrated last week with episode 100. And I just wanted to provide an update and give a couple of housekeeping items here to get started. First of all, in episode 100, I made a couple of announcements. I announced two giveaways to celebrate 100 episodes. If you haven't seen those yet, they're running on our social media, and they're running, of course, on episode 100, but you have a chance to win a Leader of Learning hoodie, so some Leader of Learning swag, or even a free PD book of your choice. Check the social media, check episode 100 for your ways to enter and win either or both of those contests. Also in episode 100, I announced that there might have been an announcement coming about doing some writing this year. And if you missed it, earlier last week, but also on the same day that I actually published episode 100, I was fortunate enough to be offered my first solo book contract, and I'm really proud to announce here officially that I have signed on with EduMatch Publishing to publish my first solo book. I'm still working on a title, but basically the book will be an adaptation of my dissertation research, which is all about leadership and how to inspire growth in others. So I will keep you updated on that process as I work on it. But I really appreciate all the love and support that I've gotten on social media and in my email and just everywhere where people have been congratulating me and wishing me well and wishing me luck and success in that writing endeavor. Getting into episode 101, this is going to be an amazing episode that I think you'll get a lot of value out of. My guest, Evan Whitehead, is definitely a leader of learning, and he has so much to say about educator and student wellness and mental health and just how to take care of ourselves, especially during such difficult times that we're living in right now. I will tell you that Evan had so much to say that there were some times where he sort of just kept going, and I wanted him to keep going and not interrupt him with asking him too many questions. So there'll be a few times in this episode where I'll kind of jump in and give you an idea for what's coming up next in terms of Evan's explanations and his answers to my questions, but I really can't wait for you to listen. So coming up after this brief message will be my interview with Evan Whitehead. Well, I'm excited to bring on my next guest in this episode, Evan Whitehead, and we've been connected for a while, but not as familiar with each other as I'd like to be, so I'm really excited to have this opportunity to chat. I've just learned that Evan has been, for a little while now, a district-level administrator who does have a title, but tends to do a lot more and wears a lot of hats than even that title, I think, is supposed to bring with it. But Evan, welcome to the show. I'm really glad to have you. And if you could please introduce yourself a little bit more to the audience. Who Sure. are you? Where are you? What do you do?
Sure. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. So yes, I've been in the field of education since my 23rd year. I live and work right outside the city of Chicago. And, you know, I've been a district level administrator for this is my 11th year overall. And as you stated, I formerly my my title has always been special services, whether assistant superintendent or director, but that actually under that umbrella is pretty much every federal program, Title I, special health services, early childhood education, McKinney Mental Homeless, and you know, all other duties as we all have in our contract as well. So, but I don't mind it. I like it. I have a lot of interests, a lot of passions. So in the field of education, it's suited me well. You know, the other side, I do some consulting as well. I work for the AHA process and Dr. Ruby Payne and her famous book, Framework for Understanding Poverty. What I my presentations and workshops that I do are actually on her newest book, Emotional Poverty in All Demographics. So it talks about, you know, mental health related issues and challenges that happen in the classroom, and not just in terms of students, but also for adults as well. Because even though sometimes we as adults think we have it all together, we actually bring a lot of our own baggage, so to speak. And we have our own invisible briefcase, I would say, that we bring to the classroom and our workspace as well. And a lot of times it has a, you know, negative impact on our collegial relationships, and also the way in which that we teach our young people, our children. So that's, you know, what I do. On the other side, you know, I'm a mental health advocate, a big wellness advocate, you know, very much so into, you know, educator self-care and well-being, I think important. I'm probably shown how important it is over these last 10 or 11 months. Kind of, we all had a curveball that was thrown to us that was very unexpected. So, you know, I'm really, you know, making sure that we're taking care of ourselves. For me, in terms of leadership, I really have a foundation and base into the wellness piece, because I think, you know, we give a lot in our profession. You know, as educators, we're known to fix. We like to fix things. We like to kind of help people out. And, you know, sometimes we forget to prioritize ourselves in that. And then that's why there's a lot of talk about, you know, educator burnout, what happens. There's a lot of statistics on that, needing the proper support. And I, you know, I'm a big, big advocate and proponent of bringing more wellness into the schools, into the districts, and for everybody, not just for the students, but for the staff too. Because really, if we have, as the adults, are not grounded and we're not in the right space, it's going to be very, very hard for us to be, you know, at the top of our game, ready to put our students.
I'm going to use that as a jumping off point. You know, a lot of obviously what you just said in your work revolves, as you mentioned, around mental health, and especially that trickle down effect, right? Like, we have to start with the adults, and then it's like the old analogy, right? Like, you can't fill from an empty cup. I actually want to show you something, and clearly this is not going to translate well to the audio side of the podcast, but literally minutes before we came onto this call with each other, I don't know if you could see that, a former colleague of mine posted on Facebook.
Wow.
I'm going to read it for the audience, obviously. Teaching this way is so self-defeating. Am I alone here? And an emotional emoji to go with it. Let me say that one more time. Teaching this way is so self-defeating. Am I alone here? There are two things that I take out of that. The first is the term self-defeating, where this teacher has just gotten in her way in terms of her self-confidence, her self-worth, and just her place. I know I'm putting words in her mouth, but her place in the field of education. And then clearly the word alone is what I focus on as well, that this teacher feels alone right now and is maybe not getting the support that she needs or whatever. And I will tell you, and I'm not obviously going to say the name of the teacher, but it's a former colleague of mine. And because I have worked with her before, I know that she is a very capable teacher and a very strong individual. And to see that kind of a post from someone who I know is super strong, it defeats me in a way. So I really want to start with that. And that was obviously a very timely post, but because your work revolves around that, both in terms of your day job and also your consulting, where do we go with that stuff? You know?
You know, that shows like the human side, and what she posted is probably what a lot of folks are feeling in multiple professions, right? Because, you know, this pandemic threw everybody off, right? Like, all sense of normalcy that we thought we had, and the comfortability that we thought we could experience. I mean, just simple things as being able to go to the store whenever you, and the store having what you need, you know, not having to wear a mask, right? All things that we took for granted, you know, was really pulled right from under us. And I think that in and of itself is a traumatic experience, right? When your world stops from what you once knew immediately, and there was no transition allowed to happen, that's going to throw everyone off. And really it's about, you know, even if you may feel that you're rooted, you're centered, you're grounded, right? It's been a test to everyone. It truly has been. And this is, you know, where a lot of the work I feel I like to focus on comes into with the, you know, social emotional well-being.
Hey, Leader of Learning. Like I said, there'll be a few times in this episode where I'm just going to jump in briefly. And here's the first of those few times. At this point in our conversation, Evan really started talking about having a new outlook on mental health that people used to think of it more as a taboo subject. And he talks about the difference between prevention versus intervention. Also, Evan has a message to leaders, and that is, what type of environment are you creating? And finally, what Evan is about to speak about, I think you'll get a lot of value out of when he talks about really finding a supportive network that can help you and support you through difficult times and help you be more mentally healthy.
I think now the word mental health has taken a totally different perspective in terms of acceptance. I think that, you know, if this was 12 months ago, 13 months ago, to even have discussions like we're having now about mental health and what that means for you know, us in our profession, in our field, and colleagues, it would have been a very taboo subject. But I think now this is where we can really talk about that in ways that we can look at prevention moving forward versus intervention or reactionary. And this is a lot of times we talk about what we want, right? We always talk about we want more time in the day. We wish we had more hours in the day. We wish we could just take time to, dive back into an old hobby or something that we really loved. And, you know, it's almost like be careful what you wish for, because the pandemic brought that to us like very quickly and abruptly, like the first three or four, right? All of a sudden, we had additional time. We had time to spend with our family. We had time to, you know, really take time for ourselves. And people were usually in two categories. Either, you know, you were just trying to survive and figure out what was going on from day to day, or you were thriving during that time. And those that were able to thrive typically had something in place in terms of preventative measures and tools that they were already practicing that was preparing them for what's to come. So, you know, in terms of what do we do, how do we do that? Like, this is where, to me, I believe the concepts of good tools that can be broken down and delivered. First and foremost, right? I think in our profession, we need to begin to open up and understand that we're human beings first, right? And the human side is that we are driven by energy, positive or negative, and then emotions. And if we're not stable in that place, and our work environment is not conducive, where that space is safe to talk about those things or get them in order, right? We're not going to have a lot of success. So, you know, so to me, that's, and from a leadership perspective, that's the message I talk to leaders. You know, you're a board member, whether you're a superintendent, district level administrator, principal, right? What type of environment are you creating for that's safe so everyone can take care of themselves in terms of well-being? You know, that's number one. Number two is that, you know, for us as the people that are in those environments, right, we need to start taking advantage of some of the opportunities that we have, right? In terms of, you know, if we're fortunate enough to have a health plan, right, and have insurance, right, there are preventative things now that are covered by insurance that we can all start doing, right? And if we haven't, we can do that moving forward. You know, also the fact of, like, I think really starting to get grounded in something. You know, you may not have to be a religious person, but just something in terms of spirituality, and knowing what else is out there, because, you know, it's tough when you feel alone, but at least if you can ground yourself in something else, you know, it's going to help you a lot in those times when it's tough. And whatever that is for you, that works, I say go ahead and do it. The last thing that I would say is probably another big thing to do this is find a supportive network, right? Have your go-to people where the relationship that you have with them, and I call it a supportive network, is because there's a balance between it. It's not all give, 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 right? It's not a place where, you know, you can just dump on a friend that, you know, everything, but then on the other side, they're not able to share anything with you. It has to be collaborative because there has to be a balance between that, because we want to make sure that people aren't taking more on than they can do. But I think that's finding those few people, whether they're colleagues, whether they're family members, whether good friends, you know what? And even if, you know, you want to do some research and go out there and find a group online where you can have some anonymity, right? And just go there without the layer of your role, position, title, and your family. You can just be who you are, you know, and do that. It's good because then there's no judgment, or you don't feel there's judgment because of what you're doing experience. So those are some, you know, things that I would say to do that, to help people in those situations, because none of us went to school in terms of our education, training, and background to prepare us for working, right? There's no blueprint. There's no precedent. There's no way to know what to experience, not just like the day-to-day operations, but also the emotional responses that we are navigating and dealing with from students, from our colleagues, and from families as well, right? So, you know, everyone has experienced different things. Some have experienced health issues. Some have been very unfortunate where there's been, you know, fatal health issues in the family. We also know that, like, financially, you know, some people, the income level or their the resources they're bringing in have changed dramatically because of the pandemic.
Hey, Leader of Learning, at this point in my conversation with Evan, I think what really stood out to me, and I hope that you catch this as well, is Evan talking about how to handle difficult political and societal situations, kind of like the difficult ones we're dealing with in American society, or at least we were over the past few months. He also talks about different school scenarios. And finally, in this part of our conversation, he talks about, and I'd love for you to listen to, his explanation of a three-pronged approach to wellness and dealing with a return to in-person teaching and learning, like I know so many of my listeners and so many educators across the country are dealing with right now.
And then, you know, also let us not forget that, you know, this spring and summer, there was a lot that was going on in terms of the newsreels that was repeated in terms of social justice, social injustice, you know, racial tension, you know, just disenfranchised, people feeling disenfranchised. And it played on a loop, right? Like almost every 3 weeks. So we have to be mindful that seeing that and watching that over and over is another way that trauma is being lived through consistently. And we don't know what tools people had to navigate that. Some places, some families, great. Maybe there's great filters. They have parents that can talk with their children about what they're seeing, what they're experiencing. Maybe the parents maybe didn't experience that type of what was going on, so they weren't connected. But if you were deeply connected with that, you may have had an emotional response that maybe wasn't healthy and could have caused a totally different outcome than you would expect. So I think that's the, you know, the awareness piece about what's happened, what's existed. And then, you know, the other part is, Dan, is that we have to be forward thinking. What's next? Your friends put that message out, right? The reality is a lot of school districts are talking about, you know, going back in person or hybrid or you know, some type of combination. But regardless, it's the talk of having students back in school and having educators back in school in their work environment. But what's next? You know, the one thing that I root a lot of my work in is social emotional learning competencies through CASEL, you know, and I think it's, you know, it's good because it provides a framework, you know, and the competencies are self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationship skills, and responsible decision-making. So when I talk about those things, I always talk about a three-prong approach. And those can be applied to students, you know, the adults, the staff, and also for families. And, you know, something that, you know, I've been working with my district in particular, as we talk about reentry and reentry planning, what that looks like, and we know the plans be fluid, is like, you know, what are the points to consider that are aligned to these social emotional, learning competencies as we make decisions and plan for returning to school in person. So just like briefly, I just kind of want to touch on a couple that I think are pretty important to speak to. So in terms of self-awareness, thinking about like the conscious use of language and what language and the language that we use, right? Because language is very powerful, and we have to be aware and mindful that the words that we choose to use when we're articulating our plan and we're communicating with all three of those stakeholders or even more, right? Conscious of what that means, because it could be a trigger, the language that we use. Or, it could throw people, catch them off guard if we're not being upfront, honest, or it's something they haven't heard before. So understanding that. The other part, the next one is with self-management, understanding that behavior in and of itself is language, right? So you may not necessarily hear someone articulate that they're feeling anxious or feeling stressed, or they're worried about coming back, or they're concerned about the students, but their behaviors is going to be what is probably going to speak to you first and foremost in their actions, whether they become, really disengaged in the process in terms of the teachers in your building or the staff members that you have. If, family members become disengaged and at one point they were really engaged and you had a great relationship and they start to fall back a little bit. So being able to understand and realize that behavior in and of itself is a language that we understand. In terms of being socially aware, right? We need to be able to have a transition period where we're phasing. It's all about like grace and space. I think that, coming back to this space and even getting through it, right? This is all new. Getting through it, like we need to give people that grace and understand that everybody's energy is going to be different during this time. It's going to ebb and flow, and people are going to feel differently. We have to recognize that everyone's not going to feel the same. So we have to be able to help people navigate that. And sometimes it's just backing off a little bit and providing them, the opportunity to speak their mind, if they lending an ear, but understanding that could have implications on the decisions that we make. And with that kind of, with the energy, understanding that there's some universal nonverbals that we can see, and understand to show that people are feeling a little bit differently about what's happening.
Okay, leader of learning, last time that I'm jumping in here, but this part of the conversation is going to be really great. And I want you to listen out for Evan's explanation of how to work on relationship skills despite an increase in isolation during the pandemic. He's also going to talk about responsible decision making, how not to abandon what was working before, but also not forgetting about what's currently working in the pandemic times and in the current time that we're in education.
The other part that, we've kind of all experienced in terms of like relationship skills is that we've been isolated a lot, and the isolation that has taken place, some of it, we didn't have a choice, but during this like year, people that are feeling like they're on their own, that they're on an island by themselves, that they've been abandoned, even if you don't, are back in your building because of certain health requirements, you may be back in the building with your colleagues and peers, but that doesn't mean that you have the ability to socially interact with them, right? People are still wearing masks. There's still physical distancing that's going to take place that won't allow you to socialize with your peers and your colleagues as you once did. So there's going to be isolation within the same location. That's something that we need to think about as well. And then the last point in terms of some responsible decision making is, I want to say that like, don't abandon what works. Okay, there were things that worked prior to the pandemic that we shouldn't forget about, that we should step, we should still be implementing. And then there's also things that happened during the pandemic, right? In terms of learning without walls, right? That you know, the difference between education and schooling, right? We've learned now that, you know, students can still learn. It may not be ideal all the time, but you don't have to be in a school building. You know, you don't need four walls to learn. And also, you know, the ways in which that we're supporting the adults and what they need. You know, when out of necessity, right? You know, a lot of things change. You know, I think of a lot of our educators that were maybe didn't feel that they were, proficient in technology, right? The pandemic has forced them to be more proficient because now, you know, they've had to use technology to do their job. So I think it's pushed people, you know, in a good way in some directions. But I think just being more aware and mindful of that is truly important.
Let me ask you, that was a whole lot of awesomeness, seriously, you know, everything from mental health and self-care and social emotional wellness to leadership as well, and how to really deal with all of the feelings that everyone is having and how to basically differentiate for them, which always comes back to what you alluded to is good communication. But even before that, just striking up, building, maintaining very close, very good relationships with people so that you can know when they're off. Like in the case of my friend who posted this on social media, and how to deal with them on a very individual basis. I know you have this 3B system, right? And I did definitely want to ask you about that because I think in terms of, I guess, coping with some of these difficulties that people are having, whether they be adults or students or anyone, talk to us a little bit about the 3Bs.
Sure. So the 3Bs, that's my platform. 3Bs are balance, boundaries, and breaks. And, you know, I definitely practice what I preach. But the way that I came upon them and really coined those three terms together is because I was going through a personal transformation of myself and some healing and becoming a better overall person, professionally and personally. And those three words and themes kept coming up as I was transforming and I was healing. The first one was balance, you know, and really about balancing your time, your energy and efforts, because that includes relationships, includes your roles. I think the pandemic has now made it so like we're doing all these roles as parent, caregiver, spouse, significant other, you know, what have you, along with your job, all at the same time. It's all simultaneous where we used to be able to put it in compartments and kind of put it away until and have a nice transition until we had to put the next hat on, so to speak. So that balance, you know, and then the next is boundaries, you know, is that, you know, we're givers by nature, especially educators. Like we're fixers, we're givers, like we want to help. But sometimes it's to our own detriment because, you know, we're not able to say no, right? Like for some reason there is like, it's taboo to say no if something's if you're needing education, right? Like, oh well, we need someone to you know, be the sponsor of this particular club, or can you stay later a little bit, or can you come in early, or you know, can you sub for this person because we don't have a sub right now, or you know, and we want to do so much, we don't say no, right? But the problem with that is that even if there's no malintent, like people and projects will drain your energy. And until you can be an advocate for yourself and say no, it's going to happen. So the boundaries is definitely, you know, it, because we typically think about like someone else's boundaries, but, you know, adhering to your own physical, personal, spiritual, emotional boundaries is key. And that's saying no. And the last one is breaks, you know, and that's where the pause and the self-care comes in, you know. And it's important because we're living in such a fast-paced society. You know, everything is about instant gratification. We're looking for ways to cut corners and hoping technology can kind of fill the gaps. But the reality is you can't cheat time, right? No matter what. So we end up missing more and realizing, you know, sometimes we just need to slow down and pause when doing that. And those three big rocks, so to speak, I realized that that's where my deficits were, right? And it was ironic because, you know, I didn't balance well. I was an extremist. Like if I did it, I'm doing 100% or I'm not doing it at all. It was far for me to find like a middle ground, like a middle path. So I think that, you know, that's the one thing about that balance that we all try to work through is key. And it's really like balance looks different. It's not going to be, you know, half and half, 50-50. It could just be what balance means in the moment. So you can have success. So you can be healthy. You know, for me, in terms of the boundaries, I never said no. I did like literally like every, if you wanted someone to do something, Evan was your man. I was your guy, right? You need somebody to coach, I'll do it. You need me, whatever it was, I did it. It was almost, you know, and I think there's this taboo a little bit within our profession that like no one ever wants to be the first one to leave the office, right? Or leave our classroom. Like, ooh, like you left at 3:30 when the bell rang or like 3:32. Like no one wants to do that because we think it's going to look bad, you know? And the reality is that that's our work day, right? But what do? Then we take stuff home. We take work home. And then we're like, you know, grading papers on a Sunday night, right? And then you think, well, where'd the weekend go? Well, the weekend, you were still working. And like, you know, you weren't really getting time for yourself. So, and I was the same way. I just was doing everything, you know, and I really didn't, you know, say no. And I was doing a lot. And the last one with the breaks, I probably was speeding through life and doing a lot of catch up because I felt like I had to, you know, and I really didn't slow down and pause and enjoy anything that was going on. Like, you know, if I got a new position or title or role, whatever, it just kind of rolled off my back and I just went through it. I never got a chance to just reflect and kind of give myself a pat on the back. You know, it was always, I was kind of saying, well, what's next? What's next? You know, what's next? And I think, you know, that is something that, you know, really was detrimental to me. And I think for a lot of people as well is like pausing. So, you know, with that, you know, I think the balance, you know, always comes into just being confident in yourself and beginning to understand what you need to prioritize. The boundaries, like I said, is being confident to say no and knowing that you're not a bad person if you can't save the world, right? There's always going to be a to-do list. No matter, the to-do list is not going away. So understanding that and being confident to say no. And then, you know, if someone does hold that against you, well, then you may want to reevaluate like your relationship with that person or your organization. And with the breaks, you know, that's about pausing and understanding life. And that's really, you know, my three B's are rooted in mindfulness. A lot. So I do a lot of meditating. But I think that's the one thing about like pausing and taking time out for yourself, even if it's 5-10 minutes a day, just to do that, just they're going, you know, the other part is, Dan, we don't, you know, in education, for some reason, we don't take sick days, even if we're sick. Like, I don't understand. I was the same way, but like, that's part of that. Like the self-care, like take care of yourself. Like really take care of yourself. If you expect to take care of other people, you got to be at your best first and foremost. And then, you know, the other part of that is part of that self-care is, you know, take time with your family, your significant other, take vacation when you need to. All those things are important. And I think that, you know, taking that time to do so out for yourself is important. You know, like I said, even if you're not one that meditates, I mean, I probably used to blow off anybody that would talk about meditation. I think, you know, whatever, I can't do that. There's no way. And I tell you, I just started, when I started doing it, I did it for maybe try to do it for 5 minutes, then 10 minutes. And then, you know, eventually like I was able to meditate longer, but just the fact of having that own space for you, you'd be surprised how much that can help you. If you do it first thing in the morning, when you get up, it grounds you. And then just when you need time to just step back for a minute and kind of regroup and re-energize, it's so extremely helpful. So that's my three B's and kind of why I believe in it. It literally saved my life. You know, and I realized once I started talking that it resonated with them, even if they weren't in education, because obviously I was always talking to educators about it, but I realized like, wow, that's something that everybody can relate to and telling me. And what I found is that typically, if there is a challenge in your personal professional life, there's usually a deficit in one of those three areas. Typically, one of those areas, and you know, just finding ways to do that and to be more successful and reaching out and being confident and being vulnerable enough to admit, right? Just like your friend did, being vulnerable enough to at least say and admit what's going on, so then you can get the support that you need.
Great stuff, man. I really appreciate all that. And I think that just like my former colleague there who is obviously having a tough day or struggling through some stuff, I think a lot of educators really need to hear the messages that you shared. The fact that they need to get more in touch with their own mental health and social emotional wellness. But in general, just those three B's and how to really go about tackling and dealing with them. So, you know, thank you very much for all the stuff you shared. Obviously, before we go, please let everyone know where they can connect with you and find more of you and what you're sharing out there. And, you know, in case they have any more questions or anything they want to reach out to you about.
Sure, no problem. So my social media home is Twitter, and you can find me at Evan Whitehead 00, at Evan Whitehead 00. I'll also give out my email address, you know, use you know, for any type of contact, consult, you know, whatever it may be. Evan Whitehead altogether 11 at gmail.com. Evan Whitehead 11 at gmail.com. And then also for the work that I do with Ruby Payne and AHA Process, you can find me at ahaprocess.com. And then if you search either by name or either under consultants, you'll see me there and a little bit about myself, my bio, what I do for AHA Process and my passion.
Excellent. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for all the work you do, the many hats you wear, both professionally and personally, and just really, really important message. So thanks so much for what you shared.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so yet, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Also, if you enjoy the content shared on the show, please recommend this podcast to other educators, leaders, friends, or anyone you think would love listening and learning. I would also appreciate it if you would leave a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever podcast app you use to listen. For more information about me or this show, head over to leaderoflearning.com. While you're there, you can also find the Leader of Learning blog, how to connect on social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Voxer, sign up for our newsletter, and even find out how to purchase Leader of Learning merchandise. Thanks again, and remember, no matter who you are or where you are, you too can be a leader of learning.